welcome back to another episode of the Truth and Transparency Podcast with your host, Brother X. The culture scientist she was hangy, so she went to go get some food. She'll probably be joining us later, but while we're at it, we're just going to go ahead and continue on, and we'll let her join in when she's able to. And she's got a full belly, because so, you don't want to see the culture scientist hangy. It's not a good sight. I will blink twice for help if I need it. But here on the Truth and Transparency Podcast, we talk openly, honestly about everything in between, why people can't get right, what in the world is wrong with 2022 already, as well as just a whole multitude of things that we would discuss with our friends and family. So I would be remiss if I didn't go ahead and introduce the man, the dad who went to the store and came back with three loaves and two fishes, and those fishes were fried with Old Bay seasoning. Mr. Smith, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Oh, I was holding it until you said seasoning with Old Bay. I'm like, I can't disagree with that. Okay.
But the question is, are you bringing the Mambo sauce?
Nah, I got it. I'm a hot sauce person. I don't need the Mambo. DC people, don't kill me, but you know, I'm a chicken. A wing dinner, salt, pepper, ketchup, a hot sauce type dude from Baltimore, but you know, don't mind me. Anywho, it's your favorite fed, Mr. Smith, also known as the Soundbite Poppy, also known as Mr.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
And I want to thank all the listeners for the plays, the comments, the subscriptions. Keep feeding us and we'll keep feeding y'all. Just a quick few things. Thank you guys for getting us up to 2,300 plays. And definitely over this trip to the stove, as we would call it, definitely running up those plays for the couple of episodes regarding March Madness. Greatly appreciated. Keep feeding us. And secondly, I know we're going to kill this subject, but I just have to say it. 10 years Will Smith, though? Like, really?
He got that Dr. Emmett treatment.
Yeah, he did.
If you went to Hampton, if you know, you know. Scorch the fucking earth.
Yes, like not a trace of you is left by the time you come back. Good Lord.
Yeah, man. He ain't even going to have a movie on BET after a while.
Oh, they're going to give him the baby boy treatment? Oh, no.
Nah. Like, Madea going to have more plays than Will Smith, but we're not talking about that. But first and foremost, I do have a couple things. I know we got some stuff on the docket, but I want to make sure we go ahead and address it. So, yes, listeners, if you hadn't been listening, you wouldn't know the reason why we were gone is because we took a little break so that Mr. Smith and myself and the culture scientists, as well as our guests, could have a little break and refresh ourselves, come back with new ideas, new topics and everything. But let's do a quick recap. I know this isn't on the agenda, but Mr. Smith, over your break, was there anything notable that you did?
Let's see. I can't talk about that because that's highly classified information. So we're going to leave that together. I got cussed out by a Nigerian. So that was fun. That was really fun.
That was kind of funny. I did hear about that. That was quite hilarious. We don't have to talk about it
though. Outside of that, I've been, you know, kind of chilling, just definitely getting my mind together. And this break has definitely made me, you know, reset, refocus, get my stuff ready for the summer. Cause you know, hot boy, hot girl summer coming soon, 2022.
I don't know of these things. I am an engaged man. The culture scientists cannot hear me, but I am saved and sanctified. I don't know about this hot boy summer. I am delivered.
Okay? So why are you blinking twice right now? Do you need help?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm okay. I'm saved and sanctified. I'm in a happy, engaged relationship.
Okay. We'll send CPS to come get you.
Mm-hmm. Please do.
About you, man?
Man. Well, you know, I went to this thing. It was in North Carolina. It was by this artist. I don't know if you know him. His name is like Jermaine Cole.
J. Cole.
Yeah.
Jermaine.
Yeah.
Cole.
Yes.
Coming from a little city called Fayetteville, North Carolina. I don't know. Are you familiar?
I mean, he's starting to sound familiar about yay high, light skin, got the, I think I know.
Mr. Nice Watch, Young Simba. Okay.
Running, punching the clock.
Yeah. He usually rides down 95 South. Yeah, him.
Gotcha.
But no, yes, listeners, part of my break was an impromptu, last minute decision, trip to Dreamville Fest here in the triangle area. When I can say, it's got to be on another episode, but dog, as a J. Cole stan, it gave me everything I needed. Like, if you follow me on Instagram, check me out at BrotherX25 on Instagram. Yes, I gave out my personal one. It's about time I did it. Ooh. It's already on the page anyway, so. But you'll see some of the videos and posts and everything. It was such a phenomenal thing. Like, it deserves its own recap just because of how much I enjoyed it. And it really breathed and felt more fleshed out because it was over a weekend. But performance is phenomenal. I'm officially just going to go ahead and start creating a Dreamfield fund, like on one of our accounts for myself and the culture scientists. So we go every year because, man, from all the OGs that they had there, like T-Pain, they had DJ Drama with Lil Wayne, T.I., and Young Jeezy. For those who don't know, dog, that was a time to be alive in the South with rap. Like, them, mm-hmm. they ushered in, along with, of course, Outkast, which Andre 3000, if you ever want to come out and make another album or a verse, we would gladly appreciate it.
Thank you.
But we're not going to go there. But yeah, it was just phenomenal, man. It helped me revitalize myself because it helped me tune back into why I love him as an artist, as well as often we're trying to be adults and try to handle our adult business. But I felt young again. Obviously, I'm still relatively young, but I felt like I was able to be a full fan without having to really think too much about it and just enjoy the music. Oh, and Ari Lennox, if you ever want to come on the podcast, you know what it is.
You're blinking again.
I don't know what you're talking about, man. I just got something in my eye.
Okay.
But no, in all seriousness, man, definitely check it out. They did a phenomenal job with that. I'm actually drinking one of the festival brews right now while we're recording this. Quite delicious. I'm not a big beer person, but it works. Dang. So, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. But, yeah, let's get back on topic. But before we do, Mr. Smith, you want to share something with everybody? I know you've been talking to me about a new segment you wanted to try out.
So, yes, listeners, you know, we talk about everything in between and then some. And, you know, sometimes we kind of neglect the as you would say, water cooler talk. So, as you know, me and Brother X are big sports fans. Definitely basketball and football. So just gonna give
a little hockey, a little rugby, a little squash from time to time. I watch the Ocho, you know, a little table tennis.
The Ocho? We doing dodgeball now?
Hey, they be wild out there, man.
Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge.
Talk about it.
So we're gonna do just a quick sports minute, just to give you a little wrap. You know, just a couple small things to keep you going for the week. So as we're recording, the NBA playoffs have started. It's definitely a deep playoff. Like, I'm actually excited of watching this type of playoffs. Specifically, I'm not gonna lie, Brother X is Golden State Warriors. Scary. They look scary.
Hey. The light-skinned assassins are back.
All three of them.
All three of them, yes.
All three of them with Draymond. So, I mean, you know, it's looking pretty interesting. I'm actually interested to see how this goes along. Right now, my sleepers are Phoenix, although Devin Booker just got injured, I think, last night. So, As of now, I'm thinking Golden State and Memphis coming out the West. For the East, I'm thinking Milwaukee, Brooklyn, or Miami. So
you ain't got no faith in Boston?
They usually kind of flame out by the second round. Usually,
I don't know, man. I think it's the Nia Long effect. You know what it is.
I know what it is.
You know.
Yeah, and then I'm gonna switch it real quick because I don't want to take up too much time because we got a lot to get to. NFL contracts, man. What the hell happened this year? Out of nowhere, this money is like being thrown around like we getting stimulus payments. You know, you got Tyreek Hill, who done went from a guaranteed number one wide receiver with a quarterback that can throw that thing to getting the bag, but he's got Tua Tango. I don't even know how to say that nigga's name.
I'm about to say, don't do that. Don't Ron Burgundy that shit.
Nah. I mean, granted, I understand you want to get the money. And again, shout out to my brother Coop. His YouTube is really good for kind of breaking down his thoughts and opinions on these things. So go check him out. But, you know, when you're talking about people who try to secure that bag, but you're willing to go to another team that really doesn't have the weapons to set you up, I feel like you're going to sell yourself short. I thought the goal was to get a championship. Yes, get your money. Definitely get your money. But I thought the goal was to win the championship. Granted, as a Ravens fan, I ain't going to lie, I'm a little nervous. Lamar got a blank check coming, so I know we got to pay that man soon.
Oh, you know. He put a doo-doo brown home on that check.
I mean, look, if he gives us a Joe Flacco, if he goes the Joe Flacco route and has one postseason for the ages and wins a ring, give that man whatever the hell he wants. I don't care, okay? But
it might take a certain clown to be able to do that.
Nah, he ain't getting AB. He if I may quote Chisel Adonis,
enough from the clown.
No, it's not happening. Okay. But that was just a quick sports minute. As more stuff comes out, I'll be sure to let you know on future episodes.
All right, and welcome back to all the listeners who skipped past this last segment where we talked about sports. We know you did that. Don't scroll back now. I know you didn't. And I know you didn't want to listen to that, but we got to get our takes off, man. And again, this our show. this my daddy house.
You this just my daddy house. You just live here.
So, where to begin? So, at the time of this recording, the holiday for those who celebrated of Easter just passed. And you know, I'm still getting upset about this. People used to take like some Easter pictures, like a lot around the holidays. Like you got Christmas, birthdays, when Big Pookie and Man come home from jail. They take a lot of group. Yes, Man. That is a go-to. But so how do I have a young lady out of African American descent decided to take some photos for Easter? Now, mind you, not bad when it sounds you say it like that, but she decides to wear a certain type of garb, as you might would ascertain, that is usually meant for the bedroom or for the entertainment of a significant other or to make oneself feel attractive. Listeners who are not as cultured as us, Shawty was wearing lingerie, getting posing in front of the Easter Bunny in a full-on suit. What is this? Is that like a cane? What is that tattoo on the chest?
That's one happy bunny.
Oh, hey, Coach of Scientist. Come on in, man.
I will be up in 2 minutes, listeners, but that's one happy bunny.
But listeners, you understand, and maybe we'll post this in the show notes, but yes, there is multiple pictures of Shawty. I don't even know her name, but she is not only like, she is posing like they got a section at stadium. She got on all her Easter best. Got the baby hairs laid. Got the new extensions. Just all that. Just doing a lot. And the one that's really getting me is the one where she literally mounts the Easter bunny. Like what you doing? Ain't no surfboard over here. Wow, it's just a lot. Mrs. Smith, do you have any thoughts?
So listeners, she literally is in lingerie and is posing in these different types of, I don't want to say sensual poses, because they're
provocative.
Yeah, there we go. Provocative. It gets the people going.
Apparently, it gets the Easter Bunny going too.
My first thought, right? The first thing I picked up on was Shawty's face doesn't change.
Nope.
In each picture. She has the same scowl in all of them. The second thing, which is obviously the most obvious one, why are we wearing lingerie in front of the Easter Bunny? Which then brings up two sub points. Number one, who the hell is in that suit? Because I need to know what they're thinking, right? But number two.
I told you, it's man.
Where the hell were these pictures taken? Wow. But number two, where the hell were these pictures taken? Because usually when you have something like this with an Easter Bunny or something, isn't it usually a kiosk at a mall? Like, you know, mm-hmm. when Santa comes. So where was she at to come out in lingerie for the Easter Bunny?
So I'm gonna let you in on a secret. If you go to certain parts of certain African American neighborhoods, sometimes white, you never know. I don't want to be too vague on all this. But there's this place called Wally World. I don't know if you've heard of it. Wally World is very interesting, and they take certain pictures there, and they have certain picture kiosks there. Now, I don't know if this was the overnight shift, or Shawty just got off a third shift or second shift. And was like, I need to get these pictures, send it to my man, let him know I'm thinking about him, about how I want him to hide my eggs. But yeah, we're just gonna go to Wild World, get these pictures done.
Since you said that, and I know we're gonna move on quickly, I just have to ask this question. Did she want her eggs fried or fertilized?
Nah, she wanted them tie-dyed is what she wanted them.
Oh my god.
I told you, man. I'm real Kyrie with it, man. I'm just shooting from the hip. Like everything just going up, man.
Dies both shots. Kyrie. Now he's all energized and shit. I got you. Whew. Okay. So listeners, we're gonna move on. And this story coming out of New Jersey is just interesting. So the caption is, two inmates at New Jersey Women's Prison pregnant following consensual sexual encounter with another inmate. Just take a listen to this.
Two female inmates are pregnant after they had sex with another inmate at the Edna Mahan Correctional Facility for Women in Clinton. That's the Department of Corrections. Last year, Edna Mahan began housing transgender inmates who identify as female. That's after a lawsuit filed by a trans woman who was forced to live in men's prisons. The DOC would not provide details on what actions they took in response to the pregnancies, but says they're taking measures to ensure the health and the safety of all inmates there.
That doesn't sound, it sounds bad, but when you look at the person that's in there and the fact that, okay, I don't want to get canceled for my thoughts, but mm-hmm. I'm just trying to figure out, you're a transgender prisoner.
Correct.
That used to be a man that is now officially a woman. So we will call you by your pronouns, she, her, mm-hmm. who impregnated two other inmates at said prison. So then, of course, here at Truth and Transparency Podcast, we did a little more research and found out the transgender prisoner is serving 30 years for killing their foster father, right? The person that they impregnated is serving life. So what about the child? I got so many questions.
Culture scientists, I saw that you came in, you had some thoughts. You want to talk to the audience real quick?
So my mind automatically goes to Orange is the New Black.
Because
in many instances, like this example didn't pop up, but it was an issue that they had, like it was something they had to deal with. So like something I have learned is, you identify as a trans woman or a trans man does not mean you have had gender identifying sex surgery.
Correct.
Yeah, because like for the longest, that is what I thought it meant, like you had the surgery and everything. But it is not what that means. Mm-hmm. I think for this, there should be some rules and some regulations, as in terms of we're not discriminating.
Trust me, we've been struggling. We're gonna work our way through.
We're not discriminating.
There you go.
Against you, however, you cannot be housed in a woman's clinic. I mean, a woman's prison if you have functional penis parts. I'm just saying, there has to be, and I consider myself a ally. I have questions. I like to understand. I like to be able to do these things. But at the same time, there are times where there are certain expectations of us where there has to be some leniency. And on this is such a gray area.
It is.
So you can't, people can't be mad for people getting mad. Like, I can see. And then to Mr. Smith's point, and that's the most important point. What about this child?
This is a very point. That's a great point. I also have a question. Speaking of gray areas, you know another gray area? That 5 o'clock shadow she got on her face right now. I'm sorry. That was stuck in my brain. I had to go ahead. If I didn't say it, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Listeners, if you see this picture, I'm very much concerned about the situation, but I have to take a moment because I haven't done this in a while. Ma'am, you look like a brown egg.
Earlier this week, we reported on a story, a transgender inmate who got a female inmate pregnant at an all-women's correctional facility. The trans prisoner is behind bars for killing their foster parent. I really can't talk today. According to Daily Mail, Demetrius Minor, incarcerated at Edna. First off, change your name if you want to be. I'm sorry. I'm just saying.
I'm about to say it sounds like a SoundCloud rapper.
Give us some guidance so when I'm trying to be, you know, correct, mm-hmm. there is some guidance that I can follow.
Maybe that was the only one they could come up with.
I'm just saying. You have a man's name in a woman's prison. I'm just saying. At least be creative.
Oh, man.
I was going to keep reading.
Oh, yeah. Carry on.
Incarcerated at Edna Mahan Correctional Facility, confessed online to impregnate. Why are you
online? Like, how are you online? Like, I know that there are.
They're online, but like, bruh.
Cats be on Instagram live in prison.
I mean, I still, the women I definitely don't understand are the women that are in love. Like with serial killers on death row and stuff, those are the women that I'm fascinated.
That's interesting.
One of the women pregnant, mm-hmm. Latonia, however you want to say it, Bellamy, 31, is serving a life sentence and will give birth this fall. She said the two had found love in a happy, hopeless place. Quoting a line from the Rihanna song in the online blog titled Freedom, Love, Pregnancy, and Trauma.
You did, if that ain't the hoodest thing I have ever heard in my life.
Is this Demetrius's blog?
No, it's not Demetrius's blog.
Is it Latonia's blog?
It is not Latonia's blog. It is a separate blog on
all right. She said while sex was prohibited at the facility, first off, we all know that's not true. She was not forced to do anything that she did not want to do. Well, first off, why do people assume that she was forced to do something she didn't want to do because it was a transgender woman? First off, that's discriminatory. Women can force other people in general to do stuff.
Mr. Smith, go ahead and bleep this next part out. They didn't want the
hey, on a serious note, if I was a girl,
I said bleep that part out.
yeah, I got you.
Well, since we're gonna be bleeping, if I was a girl and I was in prison and there was a
you know what? Okay, that's enough work for Mr. Smith. You can go ahead and cut this part out.
Before I press on them,
that is for us to know, for them not to hear. All right,
woo, boy, I'm gonna have some editing to do. Go ahead.
I mean, we gotta have you flex those muscles a little bit.
I know, but, I gotta knock the rust off.
So, Coach of Scientist, we are in the process of planning a wedding, right?
Oh God, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it is a lot of work, and everybody tells us that, and we are fully aware. We are still looking at things and whatnot. We're really working hard on this, but there's something that we saw on the internet that I need you to see, that if you ever ask me to do this or we ever have this type of tradition, we will not be getting married. So listeners, we can't play this because of sound copyrights, but there's this young man who just got married to his wife, African-American man, Caucasian, I'm assuming, or caucus, white woman. So he comes in after like what's the term? Like the entering to the reception.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm just angry. Continue. Okay.
Apparently he comes in, he has a collar and a leash attached to him, with his white wife walking him into the reception. Now, listen, you're probably wondering, what the hell? Why would he do this? Why is he walking like a half ape, half dog? And he's getting ready to, why he is sniffing the cat, apparently. And he's now hiked his leg up to pretend like he is urinating on the woman. And their Mitch
child is just like, what's happening, parents?
Like, there are so many questions. We're going to do a quick What the Fuck Studios breakdown.
Who said bend down like that? Who said crawl your legs like that, like a dog? First off, this is a white woman dragging a black man around. He's enjoying it, which is really wrong.
But there's so many questions in What the Fuck Studios. First and foremost, who is that black woman in the background that is just watching this happen like everything's okay?
She looked like she clapping at church.
Wow, that's a lot. No, you're not wrong. But listen, you also have to see the child has on a big ass cowboy hat looking like Howdy Doody. Like, what is that baby doing? So, Mrs. Smith, I know we did some research on it. Did we ever find out, like, what was the reason behind this?
So, this
spectacle?
Yeah, so apparently, he said that it was a family tradition. And listeners, the song that's playing when he comes into the wedding reception is Atomic Dog. For those of you who went to an HBCU, or even if you don't, you know George Clinton. Atomic Dog is one of them songs, you know it as soon as you hear it. And the first thing you look for is Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated.
A gold boot flying through the air.
Yep. So that was my first thought, is that maybe he's a member of Omega Psi Phi. I don't know. But then I kind of looked around a little bit more and I was like, if he's a member of Omega Psi Phi, then his frat brothers would have been there. So I could easily rule that out. So at this point, he literally is saying that this is a family tradition of him walking in like this, which then, again, you have a white wife. And you know what, sir? Usually I am very careful with the words that I'm going to say, because love and all, I do not discriminate against all. But, sir, your wife looks like walking you in here with a goddamn collar on. I'm
just saying. Go ahead and do that part right there.
All right. And then,
what this does for our race.
Yeah. And then again, as I said in the last story, the child is old enough to be like, what is daddy and mommy doing? And he is so confused. He doesn't know what's going on. Of course, the follow-up is the black people that were in that reception. Fam, I'm gonna need y'all to like look at Martin Luther King, who is probably doing that speech from the Boondocks where he says, I promise you niggas got nothing to celebrate, and I won't be going with you. I'm going to Canada. Like this is what he meant when he talked about this.
It's like someone walks in there, they see this. It's like somebody black mama in the back of me, like, can I see all the black people real quick? Oh, y'all gonna see us in the back? Uh-huh. Oh, we about to get cussed out? Yep. All right, let's go ahead and handle this real quick. Cause what? No, just like, why is grandma in the back on her phone recording this with a cane?
I just don't understand the purpose of the leash around this man's neck and how this is a tradition to enter your wedding. First off, you don't look attractive. Like, granted, it's your wedding. You like it, I love it. You happy? Cool, whatever. But you look weird.
Yeah, man, yeah. Like, it genuinely just does not make any sense. I'm very much concerned, and it's just, Coach Scientist, please tell me our wedding not going to be like that.
No, because first off, I have more respect for you.
Thank you. I'm not sure if that was the exact response I'm looking for, but I am very appreciative.
Well, my takeaway to me by that thing is there is a lack of respect in their relationship.
Mm. Or lack of self-respect.
That too.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to go ahead and move on to this next segment. Mrs. Smith, you know, we be reading sometimes, we be edumacated, and we be finding stuff on the internet to read. You've heard of any good books lately? I heard of this really cool one called Bad and Bougie, a trap feminist theology. Have you heard of this book?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, fun fact, listeners, when me The culture scientist and Brother X went on the cruise. We were actually the black people that read while on the cruise. But you know, that story will come in a bonus episode. But anywho, so there's a book that's called, as Brother X stated, Bad and Bougie Toward a Trap Feminist Theology, right? If you look at the cover of the book, Afrocentric black woman, you know, right on, looks, you know, pretty good. You would think, the first thing you would think of is, oh, okay, you know, Bad and Bougie and a feminist theology, black woman, you're thinking a black person wrote it. Yeah, no. The book Bad and Bougie, Toward a Trap Feminist Theology, written by a very white woman, Jennifer M. Buck, PhD, Program Director of Interdisciplinary Studies and Associate Professor, Department of Practical Theology at Azusa Pacific University in Southern Cali. I'm going to just stop right there for a second. So if you didn't catch that, listeners, a white woman wrote a book called Bad and Bougie Toward a Trap Feminist Theology about black women. Make it make sense. So this person, Teresa Stovall, who's also an author, wrote about this and said that this came to her attention last night. She called the publisher, a small Christian press in Eugene, Oregon, to find out how in the entire this ish happened. And of course, this book kind of went under the radar to where the people that knew about it was Black Twitter, because of course, Black Twitter is always on it.
Undefeated.
Very undefeated. So the publishing, which is Whip and Stock Publishing, Teresa actually spoke to the editor who tried to give her some leeway on what's going on. He was also, and for the record, he was also white. He said that they were preparing a statement, taking full responsibility for their mistake, and that she will share it when it goes live. More importantly, the editor also said that they were pulling the book from sales outlets, though she's not sure when. It was still up on Amazon, where at the last time that she looked at it, it has 17 one-star do not buy this book reviews. The editor decided to try to, you know, be accountable in 2022. And I asked for Teresa Stovall's thoughts, listened as she shared them to where she was polite and professional, but also passionate and said what the hell needed to be said. And that the guy said that he does publish black authors and other authors of color. The last thing that she left off on was, dear white people, can you ever, ever just take a freaking day off at of the racist ish that you do? Just one little day. One little day. Why?
So, Coach and Scientist, as a resident black woman on this podcast, what are your thoughts?
I've seen this and...
Yes, you be spinning right now. Mm-hmm. Right. You are just tearing it up right now. Yes.
What my problem is in general, and I like you will keep saying this over and over and over and over again. If you just stop and think before you do something, you won't have to apologize for being called a racist later or being called a hypocrite or being called a what's the word I'm looking for when they steal stuff?
A jigaboo.
How
are you? Culture vulture.
I don't understand.
A Kardashian.
So my question is, was her intention to talk about? Because there's a book I haven't read it yet. It's called Hood Feminism.
Okay.
But it's not featured a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
So like again, if your book is entitled Bad and Bougie Trap Feminism, but it's not about black women and it's just about feminism being trap.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's okay.
Right.
But I'm saying white women's version of whatever you try. Some white people have experiences. So I'm not saying she can't write about it. But why would you put a beautiful African-American woman with a fro on the cover of your book and you're a motherfucking white author? White author.
She built like a mustard container.
So like, again, stay on your lane. Write about what you can relate to. You cannot relate to being black and bad and bougie. So what is the purpose of this? Let us have our stories. There's already enough people telling our stories. So why can't we tell our own story?
Because that would give us so much power. Mr. Smith, you got any thoughts?
I just have one moment or one piece, honestly. The fact that this woman got a grant to write this book, right? Which means she had to submit the topic and everything that she was going to do. And some people that's sending money was like, you know what? This is a good idea. Let me go ahead and do this. It gave her money to do this. And I'm sure that this speaks to all of the Black women, men, children, adults, whoever, that have plenty of ideas but get overlooked by these big agencies or companies or whatever and get sent money to other people. Like, what?
It's the nerve-dacity.
Talk about it.
Shout out to Queen C.
She buying some step stools.
I thought you gave her one the last time before we took our break.
I come back, it resets.
Oh, God.
It's like my EBT card, it resets. Cut that out. I'm sorry, that was a
little much. I went to, because I was curious, I wanted to know a little bit more. I wanted to look, what is the book fully about? So I didn't get that point. But I was reading one of the comments on Goodreads. Of course, also on Goodreads, it is 1 star.
Okay.
51 ratings, 18 reviews. The first thing that says, this is by Lola, is behind her reviews at least every month, rate it. So this author is a white feminist. This book is blackfishing and deeply, deeply inappropriate. This is not okay. And this is a very opposite of feminism, gross. So that was the first one. Yale gave this white woman $10,000 to write this book. And although she was following Ebony Janice on Instagram, didn't credit her at all. It is also highly unlikely that she researched and wrote this insulting and gross book. The trap queen is raised in the ghetto, but not the ghetto. Literally, what the fuck? Oh, is that an actual quote from the book? Interesting.
Oh, God.
On feminism, without coming across the work of Cecily Bowen. If she did come across that name, she didn't credit or give any credence to the work done by Black women who actually does have thoughts worth paying attention to on this. If she didn't come across that name, she is shit at researching and should have never been given money to write this garbage. Yeah, you have a problem on your hands.
I just have to say this, culture scientist. I was getting ready to say she sells by the seashore. Say that 5 times fast.
No. You ain't shit. I'm not gonna let you do this to her. I can do this to her.
You're right. I only get one for the year.
Offensive analysis of Black women's liberation from a person with a purely academic background in this subject matter. And I will leave it at that because that part sums it up on how I feel. Because I'd like a good educated white woman who is an ally in the arts and in the field and the African-American things, but it is not your place to tell our story, point blank, period. You have no actual experience. That is it.
So going from to not knowing your place to having some archaic thoughts and views, Mr. Smith, can you pull up the next clip? Because he's not my boy. He's done a lot of great things for the Carolina Panthers, but Cam Newton, I'm gonna need you to just stop. And we'll get into it because this is a very layered conversation, so we want to make sure we talk about it correctly, briefly, but correctly. But Mr. Smith, go ahead and play the clip.
I knew what a woman was, not a bad bitch.
Okay, what's the difference?
A woman.
Okay.
A bad bitch is a person who's just, you know, girl, I'm a bad bitch. You know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I look the part, but I don't act the part.
Okay.
You know, and it's a lot of women who are bad bitches And I say bitches in a way, not to degrade a woman, but just to go off the aesthetic of what they deem is a boss chick. Mm-hmm. Now, a woman for me is handling your own, but knowing how to cater to a man's needs, mm-hmm. right? And I think a lot of times when you get that aesthetic of like, I'm a boss bitch, like I'm a this, I'm a that. No, baby, like, but you can't cook.
Okay.
You don't know when to be quiet. You don't know how to allow a man to lead. So,
Sir Cameron Newton, the third, Aloysius Jenkins, the fourth. Sir, let me go to the culture scientist real quick.
His point, the only point that to me was 100% valid was we sometimes, not all the time, we have to learn sometimes to A, let a man lead. B, not all men are should lead because not all men are worthy to be to lead. C, the other statement that he said about don't know how to treat a man after you don't know how to do this. Besides you, first off, Cam Newton, I didn't even recognize you. What have you done? Secondly, you, what are you bringing to the table? Just because a woman can't cook, she might bring other things to the table, mm-hmm. first and foremost. So, and not all men deserve for a woman, because I feel like what he really wants to say is the word submissive, which you know is a trigger point for me. So what he wants is submissiveness. And again, a man should prove himself for a woman to show that you deserve for a woman to be submissive. A woman is not automatically going to be submissive. A woman is not automatically going to bow down to your needs. A woman is not automatically going to do what you just said. A woman is not being a bad chick because you think she's a bad chick. A bad chick in your definition and a bad chick of what a bad chick definition is completely different. It can be different among different women. So yes, it was a very misogynistic rant that he just did. Again, he's not wrong in like the aspects of where he's coming from and probably his experiences, but you're a rich motherfucker. So where are you talking from? You're talking from women who are probably using you. So I'm sorry, sir. You can't speak on this subject for real, for real. I'm done.
Man. You sure you ain't got nothing left in the chamber? Add the gunshots at the end of that part right there.
Oh, I've already put them in. Like, right there.
All right. So listeners, real quick, just to give a quick history lesson. Cam Newton, player, he is quarterback for what has been a fixture for the Carolina Panthers over the last, we'll say 10 years, give or take. Couple years, maybe. But he has been a fixture, led him to the Super Bowl 50 and has been like one of their bigger stars and whatnot. Randy, he's very flamboyant, very flashy. He's very much in the same vein as Russell Westbrook. Sorry, Mr. Smith, I had to bring up bad things, but I have to. But he's had in the past made comments to women or about women in particular that have come off as potentially misogynistic or very tone deaf or in some ways archaic. Whether it was his comment to a female reporter asking him questions about football and him saying, oh, it's funny. I thought it's funny that a woman is asking me about running routes and throwing the football. Sir, one, if she is a journalist in there, she is working a job that she has went to school for or has worked really hard to get into that room. That is very dismissive. Not on top of the fact that there are a lot of women who could talk circles around dudes about football. Mm-hmm. That's a whole nother thing. Mm-hmm. And then additionally, for you to say that, like, granted, you said for you, you try to put a precedent on saying for you, which is fine. But when you start to broaden out your statement, you're not using it in the context that you truly intended, because you're only saying to me because you're trying to protect yourself from potential backlash, which you're still going to get regardless because of what you said in your statement. So to me, granted, I think this also is probably going to lead into like our next series that we're going to do. Is that there are some uncomfortable truths, and the coach scientist said it perfectly. There are some men who have to understand you are not ready to lead, or you do not have the capacity to lead. And just because you are in a relationship does not mean that you are able to lead. It also doesn't mean that the woman knows how to be submissive, but we're not going to go on that today.
That's a whole nother topic.
Which we're probably going to touch back on. I think we're going to add that to our new series. Ms. Smith, go ahead and write that down.
The biggest lesson I learned from the relationship, one of my relationships was, and I will say it again because it's the main thing I actually agree upon, is we are taught as women, yes, times are changing, but we're still taught as women to be independent, but you still need a man. But you still need to be as independent. And men want independent women. So when they get independent women, they don't know how to handle an independent woman. And then the woman doesn't know how to stop being completely independent anymore. Mm-hmm. And they don't know how to revert back to allowing somebody else to take care of them. And the men are still being raised to be the caretakers, to be the people who make everything work and do this and do that. And you're supposed to be the man of the house and stuff. But again, you're raising women to be leaders, which is not a bad thing. But there's a misconnect where they're not showing each other, or we're not teaching the people after us how to do both on each side. So both of us are coming in with these expectations, and nobody knows how to. First off, expectations is what get people in trouble. But nobody knows how to manage their expectations. Mm-hmm. It's fine to have expectations, but you need to manage them.
Mm-hmm. That's real. So, Mrs. Smith, I was going to give you a point, but we're just going to move on it.
Sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. Mrs. Smith, you got something?
Just quickly. Again, like, I mean, you guys have said everything. I'll make sure I say this cleanly. This is not a take of the Truth and Transparency podcast. This is just Mr. Smith's take personally. Certain players might be able to get away with that statement based on their style of play or who they are in the community. It is not a right, it is not a correct statement at all. I want to make sure that's clear. But Cam, your style of play or your playing ability dictates you are not in the realm to make those types of comments, right? So I'll take, for example, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers got flamed because the man said that he took COVID-19 vaccine advice from a UFC president as opposed to the actual CDC, right? If Cam would have said that, he'd have got flamed regularly. The difference is Aaron Rodgers still produces on the damn field. So you could be like, right. I want to be mad at him, but the man just threw for 400 yards and three tutties. So I don't know. But Cam, your mechanics have been broken for years. And it's just the more that you say these things, the more that your play doesn't back up your bark, I should say. And furthermore, again, your archaic views are terrible. Whether it's the reporter who, you know, you say it's amazing that women know routes. Listen, I play on a flag football team that Brother X didn't see me play, that there's women that know button hooks, fly routes, and slants and do it perfectly, almost better than the guys. So
we had a girl in my high school who played on the football team.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
She didn't like, she's more of a kicker because they wouldn't let her play, but she was out there with them.
Hey, she in practice though, so she know that stuff. But you know, just in closing, just what do we always say? Think mm-hmm. again.
Uh-huh.
Think a third time.
Uh-huh.
Before you say what you're gonna say. That's it. That's all.
Yeah, I mean it really just speaks to just a whole sense, and I think it really does deserve its own topic and its own conversation. So we're actually gonna go ahead and transition from someone being a dick to actually talking about dicks. Because you know we always got at least one topic per episode. Mrs. Smith.
I see what you did there.
Let me read it.
Oh, Coach Sasha, you want to read this one? I am so glad you are here. Mrs. Smith, go ahead and pull up the clip.
A man's penis turned black and released a foul-smelling discharge after he injected it with cocaine. Bitch, why? A man's penis turned black after he injected it with cocaine, according to a report by American Journal of Case Reports. Oh, I wish I would have came across this. A 35-year-old Hispanic man went to the ER with excruciating pain in his penis and scrotum 3 days after injecting the drug into his penile vein. Doctors working in the Bronx, in Bronx, New York, said in the report. On examining him, the doctor said his penis was swollen, black, ulcerated, and oozed of a foul discharging. I'm sorry, I hope it didn't fall off. The man
had to miss a potato head.
Just saying. The man had a long history of intravenous drug use, they said. Oh, that makes sense now. Cocaine is one of the most dangerous drugs available, the doctor said. This is because it's highly addictive. Yes. The drug, which is illegal, can be snorted, smoked, or dissolved and injected into a vein. When injected, it can trigger a blood vessel inflammation, which can cause gangrene, the death of body tissue. This is also another term called necrosis. The doctor said that the cocaine in the U.S. can be cut with a deworming drug called levinamisole.
Close enough. Some very technical.
Yeah. Lamisimol, whatever. I added extra letters, which cause blood vessel inflammation too. Oh, so you just extra dilated your vessels, homie? The man said that the man told the doctors that he previously injected cocaine in the same vein at least twice in the past 2 weeks. Well, duh, that's why it's going gangrene without any complications. The dorsal penile vein the man used runs the length of the shaft. Yeah, it's probably that one when it gets hard and everybody talks about throbbing. It's probably that one. The dorsal vein is the unusual place to inject. Not really if you're a drug user, okay? Well, it says it right there, but I know my stuff, but it's not uncommon for drug users for a new injection site. Once others, such as the arm, veins become damaged, the doctors say. That's why if a person has cancer, they try to not always draw blood. Like if you have to get blood all the time in general, they try to give you a port to protect your veins.
Yes.
I know I gave my commentary, but just my dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
I don't even know.
Won't have a functioning dick.
No, you're going to be shooting blanks for a long time.
Yeah. He's not fertile. How old is he again?
Like 35. 35? Like, dog, like, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, what made you think This was okay? What made you think, like Randy, just because, oh yeah, I put my hand on the stovetop one time and it didn't burn, okay, I can go ahead and do it again in a couple weeks. Sir, why?
I'm just saying, if you're gonna do it, use that vein a little less frequently, you know? Use your foot vein maybe, and then go back 2 months later to the penis. I'm just saying. Also, that just sounds like it hurt.
Like, of all the things, yeah, Mrs. Swift, yes.
Good question. Did we just give injecting advice on this podcast?
Yeah, you're going to have to go ahead and believe that.
I'm just, okay, look.
Yeah.
I am not. The Truth and Transparency podcast is not promoting drug and IV use, okay? What I am saying is there are safer ways. If you are going to do it, please do stuff safely. That is always the culture scientist perspective, and that will always be my advice. If you're gonna be a drug user, please go pick up the clean needles. That's all I'm saying. If you're gonna have unsafe sex, please make sure you get tested periodically. That's all I'm saying.
You know you're gonna get put on an out of context episode of the podcast, right?
If I'm taken out of context, that means you do not listen.
Well, Mrs. Smith, we're gonna talk about that later. There are many moments that I just thought about. I'm like, yo, we would sound really out of pocket if this was all compilated together for out of context. Yeah.
This is going to be fun at the end of the year.
Oh, God. Like, dog, there's just so many things. I'm like, this sounds like how I ended up in the ER edition.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You can get some horse pills from the gas station that'll work better for you.
You get
the rhino pills?
Yeah, man. Turn that man into a transformer.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm just going to get my one piece out. Apparently, to finish off, the man refused surgery to cut away the dying tissue and just got antibiotics for 5 days and a further 5 days with oral ones alongside wound care. And then his clinical condition improved. But then they said, okay, now that you're good, we want to get you into drug rehabilitation to make sure this don't happen. That nigga said, deuces, I'm out. So I just...
I think it's going to fall off.
You guys have said everything you need to say. I just have one question. As a man, your dick is in pain. Why are you guys waiting 3 days to go see the doctor?
That part.
I'm so three days. I'm sorry. After the first day, get me to the damn doctor. Doctor, I don't know what's going on. I need help. Please help me. I can't.
Nigga, 3 days, an hour.
Just damn. But yeah, as Rick James said, cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Hey, that's a very real statement, man. Mm. All right, so listen, we're just gonna move forward. Since we already here, Southwest, I'm gonna need y'all to get y'all stuff together. Maybe it's not y'all per se, but there's an incident on a flight because people don't know how to just sit their damn asses down and just ride on the flight. So apparently a passenger decided to do something. Mr. Smith, play the clip.
Airlines says it's banning a passenger for life after he's accused of sexual misconduct on board a flight. An FBI agent took Antonio McGarrity into custody on Saturday at Sky Harbor Airport. Investigators say that he exposed himself and touched himself on several occasions in front of a woman sitting next to him. And this was on a flight from Seattle to here to Phoenix. They say that the woman notified the crew and was moved to another seat. Well, McGarrity is now facing federal indecency charges.
Listeners, you heard that correct. This man decided to jack off after takeoff. Yeah, it was right there. Four times? Yeah. So,
I just want to read the headline.
Yeah, go ahead.
The headline says, Southwest airline passenger masturbates four times mid-flight and calls it kind of kinky.
All right. So, Antonio McGarrity was the alleged person who meant to the lewd acts and said he asked the woman if it was okay beforehand if he did so. Sir, what? That was the first thing to be like, no.
Wait.
Hold on. And here on the Truth and Transparency podcast, now we ask you to have a little bit of money to do to get some information for a given affidavit. Mr. Smith, there is an interesting portion in the affidavit that I would like for you to share with the class.
Oh. So it says, after Southwest Airlines flight 3814 landed in Phoenix, Arizona, the female witness sitting next to McGarrity was interviewed by Phoenix police officers. She advised McGarrity to expose his penis by pulling down his pants and shorts and proceeded to masturbate during the first hour of the flight. The fact that this nigga didn't even make it off takeoff is crazy. McGarrity masturbated with his exposed penis in view of the female passenger on four separate occasions using both his left and right hands. She suspected that McGarrity ejaculated because he licked a white substance from his fingers.
Nigga!
Fam!
Sir, what?
Yeah.
Sir, so you what?
I have a question.
Yes.
So the part that said the witness, the female witness captured. Okay. So
go ahead, get it out.
There's multiple points.
Yes.
Number one.
Uh huh.
Did this have? It started as soon as takeoff. That's what it sounded like.
The plane took off, and he took off his shorts.
Okay, so number one, she told it. I don't understand how it happened four times with two different hands.
No, at the same time. That was important. He was.
It happened four times.
Yes. Uh huh.
And they moved her after four times. Like, did she tell them the first time? Did she tell them after four times?
I don't know. Maybe it was like in between.
And then she could see
it. He was trying to clean up. He was licking his fingers, and then he was like, all right, I've had enough.
And it says, number seven, that the female witness captured pictures of McGarity with his hands on his erect penis, which I reviewed during the course of my investigation. At some point during the flight, McGarity fell asleep and the female witness got up and advised the flight attendant about the incident. She was moved to another seat. Nah, B, as soon as I see your hand on your erect penis, ding, 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 move me! It's not my man's erect penis! Move me!
Wait, why am I in this?
I'm just saying.
Wait.
It's not a penis I want to see. Move me.
Wait a minute. How do I get drawn into this?
Some people look kinky. You know, I'm all for the Mile High Club, but not for yourself. But nobody want to see adult. It.
This is not fair. This is not how I thought this story was going to go. But all the same,
I'm stuck on the four separate occasions.
No, well, my man. Well, we actually did a little bit of research here. We actually, Mr. Smith, we looked up the flight. So a normal flight from Seattle to Phoenix is about 4 or 5 hours, correct?
If it's nonstop, it's 2 hours and 50 minutes. If it's like a layover, it's about, I think, like five hours.
So my man had roughly, he could knock one out about almost every hour, and he fell asleep. So he had that post-nut clarity. Those who know, know. But yeah, just... This is a lot. Yes, culture scientist.
I was trying to see what was below because I feel like I need like a conclusion. Wait, go back. Stop right there. Where? Okay, this part. McGarity knew that the female witness sitting next to him was aware he was masturbating, could see his erectile penis. Well, duh, it was turning him on. Duh, come on, son. McGarity was aware that the female witness was sitting next to him, used her telephone camera to capture. Girl, you just turned him on more. McGarity advised he asked the female witness if she minded. And what did she say? Probably no. So according to McGarity, the female witness put her hands up in the air and said, it really doesn't matter. I doubt that. McGarity said that she thought it was kind of kinky. McGarity did not think that the female witness was uncomfortable with him masturbating.
Do you know this person? Have you had these conversations? Did she give consent? This is like an air dick pic.
Go a to lot the of time. Bathroom.
Air dick. You got Dickler miles is what you got. All right, let's just move on. I'm sorry. Mrs. Smith, did you have something?
I just got one thing. I'm with the culture scientist, my nigga. Four times? What were you on? Did you have a Bluetooth? Did you have Viagra? Did you get the rhino pills from the gas station? And was like, let me see how this goes. And then furthermore.
You probably had some cocaine.
Probably. You know what? I'm not even gonna lie to you. This sounds like some cocaine type of stuff. He probably looked at the guy like, well, I mean, he injected his dick, so let me go ahead and store it and I'm gonna just play with my dick.
I say they might be friends.
Oh God.
They be like, yo, try this next time you on the plane, inject it, and then masturbate.
We might have to edit these parts out of the episode. I'm not even gonna lie to you.
Why?
Because there's a point where it's just like, all right, we've gone too far.
Listeners.
We've got off the rails.
Listeners,
all right.
I just want to point out that Mr. Smith, on my last note, he said that was enough. He didn't even say that. He went on to the next story. So with that being said, the next story is...
So a boy who, Channing Crowder, made the very ill-advised statement a while back in one of our episodes. We talked about how no top athletes are going to go to HBCU literally a few weeks before the number one athlete committed to Jackson State. Shout out to Jackson State and all HBCUs, especially the illustrious Hampton University and the oldest HBCU in the South, Shaw University. Is that correct? Did I say
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Did I read off my hand correctly, baby?
I did not write it on his hand. His line. He memorized it because he loves me.
Ooh, you better
yes,
go
I do love Tia. I love Tia with all my heart.
Do you need help? Blink once for yes and twice for no.
Listeners, the real question is, do I need help?
This is true.
I mean, you've been with me almost how long now?
exactly to your same point.
Hey, I didn't say I needed help, but we're gonna move on.
You blinked to
Mr. He said, if blink twice, if I don't need help.
That's not what he said.
What did he say?
Technically, I did say blink once for if you need help, blink twice if you don't. He blinked like multiple times, so he don't need help. He love you.
Yeah, I put a ring on it. Yeah. As I touched the ring.
Y'all stupid.
All right. Getting back on topic. So he decides to make this very played out narrative about another current NFL athlete, a recently traded to the Denver Broncos quarterback, Russell Wilson. Let's take a listen to what his take is about Russell Wilson and his beautiful wife, Sierra.
Yeah, if Russell ain't had that bread, Sierra ain't gonna be with him. Russell Square.
Russell Square, Sierra
has a good situation, but you don't leave Future and get with Russell Wilson.
The thing is, I think
that's what you're wrong.
You don't leave Future and get Russell Wilson. Like, it's a type. Listen, bro, everybody got a type.
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody has a type. You're going to leave Future and get with Russell Wilson? Is, though, when you he's have... so goddamn square, and I love him on the field. He's a square.
Channing.
He's a king square.
Channing, you go from this level of toxicity, you just want something stable. You want the guy that was sitting with that girl with that big old mouth at the draft that was laughing, and you knew she deserved to be with him.
Goofball?
Yeah, you want that
you
guy.
You
want
to get with goofballs.
Hold up.
Yes.
All right, that's another episode of Huge Transparency Podcast.
But, like, he sound jealous.
He do.
Really does. And let's talk about this. First and foremost, the narrative about Sierra going from Future to Russell Wilson is beyond played out.
It is
low hanging fruit. It is a narrative that has been beat into the ground, and Future don't even talk about it. Russell Wilson definitely doesn't talk about it. Sierra definitely is just happy and has her wonderful home. Like, ultimately, it's like, it speaks to what exactly why do you consider him a square? That's one of the questions I have. It's because he's not, like, if he doesn't come from the same background you came from or carries himself and conducts himself the same way that you do, or is it because that he has a certain level of success that has allowed him to be in a circle, be in position to meet said people? Because even at the end of the day, even if he doesn't have all the money, if he is in a position to meet this person, if Sierra choosing to be with him, that is on her. If he has money, that is secondary. If they're in a happy, healthy relationship, which it appears to be, and he is the man that she prayed for, the type of man she prayed for, then what's the problem? Like, seriously, help me understand. Like, because it's just like,
I mean, you,
like, what are we doing?
You hitting the point. I mean, the thing is, he said you don't leave Future and go to Russell Wilson. Well, first of all, technically, she was tired of Future because Future kept cheating on her with multiple women. Hence why he had a different baby mama every 6 months. Secondly, Future wasn't being there for his kid. Russell actually came in and was like, I will be a stepfather for said kid. Then he said, you know what? I'm going to shoot 2 more kids into you because not only am I a Super Bowl winning MVP quarterback, but I also am a good shooter to be a dad as well. So, like, she's happy. And it's what I said a couple episodes ago where I said, when you're young, you think about all the, oh, I want to be in the line. I want to be like, you know, I want to have that attention on me. I want to do all this, I want to do that. When you're older, you just want peace. Anybody that is, I'll say 30 and over. I can't give the 25 and up crowd yet, but 30 and over. At a certain point, you just, you know, once you hit 30, your mindset goes from, oh, I don't know if such and such is going to like this or not, to, I don't give a damn. I want what I want. I want to be able to do the stuff that I want to do. I want to be able to feel the way I want to feel, and I want to do it all the time. I don't want to have to submit myself for something else. That's what Sierra did, and Russell is a good fit for her. They are a great couple. So as the coach decided to say, why, sir, are you so adamantly just involved and so emotional about the fact that this dude's a square? Did he take your woman? Did he, is your wife you know, giving him the, you should be more like Russell Wilson. Like, what is it? Let that man be in peace and count his millions and get his rings and do his thing. We're sorry you didn't get a ring while you was on the Miami Dolphins and whatever else. And you kind of trashed the linebacker. That's neither here nor there.
Like my thing is, like, cats literally just, they go so out of the way to attack this man. Like, it would be different if Russell was a guy, if he was a bum or he hopped on a diss track against Future. Okay, then, yeah, he's inviting that that type of energy into his relationship, but he hasn't. He's a godly man. He makes some choices. I still don't bang with him when he was on the Seattle Seahawks, but we moved past that. Hmm. But it's just like, let him live. Coach Scientist, you want to say something?
Who are you to say why she married him?
Right.
You're not in the relationship. And I will say this because when people in the past who've taken credit for our relationship, again, we still put the work in.
Exactly.
They put the work in. You don't know what goes on in that household. So you don't know why fully what is going on with why she didn't stay with Future. You know a little bit, but you don't know. And it just made me think about Tabitha, when she basically when Wendy talked about Tabitha taking care of her husband,
mm-hmm.
when she's like, oh, my husband can retire, and he can figure out what he wants to do. Right. And Wendy's over here talking about, that sound like, I forgot what exactly she said, but I'm like, you sound petty too and jealous. So you just mad because you can't do it or you haven't found the love? Get mm-hmm. over it.
Like, are you mad?
And just because, and like you said,
right,
there's different types for each person. And just because you consider that person square does not mean that person is actually a square.
Like, and if he's a square, why does that even matter? Like, this whole connotation of like a square or a bum or he didn't have this, but he wouldn't do that. Like, dog, you're quantifying, you are generalizing a person based off the money he makes because you probably give women because you made a certain amount of money, because you had certain relationships because you were an NFL player, because you went to a large university, all these things that you are projecting onto this man who you probably don't know on a personal level. What we really need to be concerned ourselves about is GQ magazine. I know you didn't think we wasn't going to talk about you. How dare you? You had the audacity, the unmitigated gall to put on the cover of your magazine Future and a mess top looking like he from the 70s or 80s. And then had the audacity to say he's the best rapper alive.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah, I didn't even put that in the doc yet. Yeah. Mr. Smith, go ahead and do a quick Google search. Whoa. I promise you. Yeah, go ahead and look that up.
Wait.
As they looked this up, I saw this probably, I think maybe like sometime either this morning or late last night. GQ magazine or a recent cover that's going to come out later.
White people, shut up.
Yeah, on top of his attire, which is, I'm not a fashion person, so I'm not hip to all the trends, but it looks artistic, I guess, was like a better term. But in the bottom corner, they thought they were just gonna put that on there. I don't care the context of what they were talking about. There is nothing that will qualify him. This man doesn't even have a classic album, in my opinion.
Okay. I'm sorry. I see we're at our time. I want to make sure we end clean, but the only thing that I will give this man is Dirty Sprite 2. Like, honestly, that is the only mix. And that's not even an album. That's a mixtape. I will not give him Future. I will not give him Hendrix. I will not give him any of those. Because, my take, not true for transparency, my take, they suck. They're trash. I can name, what did he say? Name five rappers that are better than him. Well, let's see. We got J. Cole, mm-hmm. Jermaine, Cole. We have Kendrick Lamar, Kung Fu Kenny. As much as I hate to say this, but this is true, we have Drake, because Drake can wrap circles around that nigga.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm even gonna go one more I'm gonna go two. Rick Ross actually is better than him, both in sales as well as rapping. Google if you want to. And then the last one, Wale is a better lyricist as well as promotional piece. Even with his album about nothing being trash, he's better than Future. So GQ, I don't know what white people is working for you, But I'm gonna need you, number one, fire them white people from the hip hop section. Number two, hire you some black people that actually know hip hop. And I'm not talking about Lil Uzi Vert or, you know, Lil Muck Muck and Pookie in them, but, you know, like people that actually are historians of rap. Kool Moe Dee, Public Enemy, Notorious, all of that. Don't you ever disrespect us like that again. The fuck?
Head over to the African American Museum. They have better selection than you just said. Not you, but GQ. You know what I mean.
But yes, listeners, I had to go and throw that in there because it came to mind and I'm like, this your king? Like Trey Kilmarkin says, like, this your king?
I just want to say two things.
Yes.
Now, white people, you know who we are referring to in your clan. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about all white people.
Right.
Secondly, I don't listen to Future. So he definitely cannot be the best rapper alive. That's all.
Okay. So listeners, that was a lot. We went all over the map. We started at Easter, touched down on bad bitches and cocaine penises, and finished up with why certain people are not a square. And why Future is not even the top 10 best rappers alive.
Nowhere near it.
Not just alive.
Tupac?
Well, Biggie? Tupac. I'm about to say Tupac technically isn't alive. Neither is Biggie.
I'm going back. No. Need to shut up.
Biggie is not
dead. I don't care.
Oh, okay.
But to your credit, Lil Wayne's still alive. So stop it. That is all.
Jay-Z? Fine.
I'm about to say, Future not even the best rapper out of Atlanta.
Alive? MC Light?
This is true.
This is like you got, out there, Meg Thee Stallion is a better rapper than Future.
Right.
This I feel is like very we can go true. On
forever and ever and ever.
What you could do is listen to our episodes about March Madness when we debated all these different type of rappers and their songs. Shameless plug. All right, Mr. Smith.
That's pretty much all I got. I'm just still mad at the fact that that just frustrated me.
I had to leave. It was like I had to get one last in there for me. I had one left in the chamber. But listeners, we are so glad to be back. I love this very shout out to Chaotic Culture podcast, but this chaotic energy, this joyous fellowship amongst myself, my fiance, my best friend, and soon to have other guests to come on here, man. This podcast is nothing else. It is a joy and it is a release of all the stress and all the ignorant energy that we're not allowed to express in our day-to-day lives. And we just thank you guys for rocking with us. Thank you for having patience when we took a break for our mental health and all that other stuff. We promise you won't be taking any breaks any other time soon unless we need to for obvious reasons. But just thank you for supporting us. You can always catch us on all of our social media at the TNT Pod 123 on Twitter, Truth and Transparency Pod on Instagram, the Truth and Transparency Podcast on Facebook. And finally, you can always email us any stories, takes, or feedback you want to give us. You can always email us at truthandtransparencypod123@gmail.com. For myself, for the culture scientist, for Mr. Smith, for all of our listeners and supporters, if this podcast does not get any bigger than what it is right now, they are forever grateful. I'm forever grateful. And with that being said, guys, we'll catch you guys next week. Peace.
These niggas is stupid. Future. You know, man.